Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about an issue today that I think is viable and valuable to us for us to understand. We must vote biblically. November the 5th is coming up very rapidly. Not only will we make a decision as to who's going to lead out of the Oval Office in D.C., but also on the ballot for the state of Florida, 6 amendments, proposed amendments, amendments that I believe will forever change the state of Florida. In fact, most are not aware of the fact that when an amendment goes into place, when it is passed, it becomes permanent, indelibly so, unless another amendment is passed to eradicate it. And that rarely happens in the state of Florida. We're changing our state constitution, making it, as I've used the term before, making it into Swiss cheese as a result of circumventing the constitutional republic and the representative form of government for passing legislation and laws that the people in the state of Florida should live under. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today with Andrew Chaville. Andrew has a doctorate in jurisprudence. He's the founder and executive director of the Florida Voice for the Unborn. Andrew, again, thank you for joining us, taking time out of your schedule. Just before the news break, I read for you, and you're familiar with it, I read it for our listening audience to understand, the actual wording of Amendment 4. Let's take that piece by piece and be careful so that our listeners will understand, because Andrew, I believe the average voter walking into the voting booth will read this and think, well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's going to protect the woman. That's going to protect that'll still be legal. That'll still be a law, et cetera. What's wrong with the amendment on the face of it?
Dr. Youngblood, there's a number of things wrong with this amendment, which is actually very short. But if you look, let's look, I'm glad you read it, because let's look at the first part of the first sentence. And it says, no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion. That in itself says no limits. Okay, so that means there's nothing the legislature can do. Now, they try to kind of get clever, because right after that statement, they say, before viability. Well, that gets to the second part of the problem with this amendment, which is that it has no definitions. And when we're talking about viability in particular, that's not defined in the amendment. So what does viability mean? Does that mean when the child can live outside the mother's womb on his or her own, or when the pregnancy itself is viable? Usually, you know, that's sometimes considered after the first 3 months. It's unclear. And that's by design. So they're basically saying that the legislature can't do anything in terms of prohibiting abortion or even regulating abortion before this ambiguous term viability. But then it gets worse, because it says right after viability, it says, or when necessary to protect the patient's health. That is a gigantic loophole, okay? So that gets us to the third problem with this amendment, which is, going back to the second problem, which is no definitions, because it doesn't define patients' health in there. And it means, actually, that it doesn't really mean that the legislature can't prohibit or regulate abortion up until viability, and they can do so after viability. That loophole, that sentence, or when necessary to protect the patient's health, means that the legislature cannot prohibit or regulate abortion even after viability, for whenever that's determined. And then who determines the viability point or the patient's health? That goes into the last clause of the first sentence. It says, as determined by the patient's health care provider. And so that's the third problem with this amendment. There's no medically licensed officials that have to sign off on an abortion. It says health care provider. They could have put medically licensed physicians in the state of Florida. Instead, they put as determined by the patient's healthcare provider. And they leave that term undefined as well. So that goes back to the second problem with the amendment, no definitions. And then we get to the fourth and final problem of this amendment, which is the second sentence in there. It says, this amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. Well, notification is very different from parental consent. And in 2020, the Florida legislature passed a statute that said mothers and fathers have to consent to their minor child's abortion. And that, you know, that's some people say, well, that's just giving them permission. Yes and no, because if a parent not only knows about it but has to sign off on it, then they can say no to that on behalf of their minor daughter. And that's very important, very different than notification. Notification just means that the legislature can say to parents, hey, your minor child daughter had an abortion after the fact. That's all it means. So they're very clever in there trying to confuse people with notification and parental consent. So to sum up, Dr. Youngblood, four big problems with this amendment. There's no limits. There's no definitions. There's no requirement that it's just a medically licensed physician sign off on abortions. And there's it eliminates parental consent altogether. So those are huge, huge problems. It basically allows abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy up until the moment of birth. That's how I summarize it. It's very deceptive and it's very extreme.
Absolutely. Andrew, when you touched on that and the thing that is so fascinating and sad, as determined by the patient's health care provider, that could be a podiatrist that's a health care provider. That could be a, quote, dermatologist. It does not mean medical doctor, and is not even, as you said, there's no such thing as definitions in that. So we'll open Pandora's box. And I wanted our listeners to understand the radical nature of Amendment 4 and the dangers. And, Andrew, as I see it, once this, if it is passed, if it is voted on and approved, it is in there indelibly so for our lifetime, so to speak, unless there's enough Christians in the future that will get together and say, let's do another amendment that will overshadow that amendment, and that rarely happens. Andrew, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Andrew Chervil, doctorate of jurisprudence, also the founder and executive director of the Florida Voice for the Unborn here in the state of Florida. Andrew, hold for a moment. I believe we have a call on the line. Kenneth, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, he is dead on point. And I'm going to tell you, it is ridiculous. The Democratic Party, you had, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I know it was one, a mobile abortion clinic. I think it was one or two. Anyway, but Joe Biden said that it was a peaceful protest, if I'm right. It was a peaceful protest, what they were doing outside. How it was peaceful if you knocked down the gates that the police put up. But he is right. How you going to have an abortion mobile unit out there by the Democratic Party?
Well, it's because, Kenneth, if I could jump in for a moment, Kenneth, it's because the main focus, the main focus of the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party today is that of murder by way of abortion, confiscating all weapons, denying free speech, and becoming a dictatorial control of the United States of America. That's the focus. This is the reason, Kenneth, I'm talking about today, the necessity and the need for us to vote biblically. It's not a matter of philosophical or some denominational dogma. We need to vote biblically. What does God's Word say? And what we see in the issue of the Amendment 4, if passed, it will legalize murder by way of and under the shadow of calling it abortion. It's murder. And the Bible is very, very clear in our scripture in the 20th chapter of Exodus. I believe it's the 13th verse. Thou shalt not kill. And abortion is murder, de facto murder. And this is the reason I believe, and I'll let Andrew speak to that in his opinion, but it's an impossibility in my most humble opinion. Kenneth, by the way, thank you so much for your call and for your input. Andrew, I believe, in fact, it's my most humble opinion, it is an impossibility for an individual to say, I'm a Christian, and vote for Amendment 4. It's an impossibility. What is your take on that? What is your position?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, you're absolutely correct. It is an impossibility. It's a logical fallacy that you could claim to be a follower of Christ and then vote yes on Amendment 4, which, as you said, authorizes the state constitution to enshrine the murder of defenseless, helpless little babies in their mother's womb and make it a so-called state constitutional right. It's an oxymoron to be a Christian and vote yes on Amendment 4. So you have a moral, biblical obligation to vote no on Amendment 4. And I think we'll all be held account for everything that we do in this life. And, you know, I would not want to be standing in before our Lord and try to justify, twist it, that I was confused or I didn't know, and so I just circled yes on there. That's not going to wash, because I think there's been enough information in the months leading up to this vote that if you are a Christian that takes your public responsibilities seriously, you will have been informed by the time you go to vote in the general election here in Florida in 2024, and you will be without excuse. So we need to do now is that I think everybody listening here on your show understands the gravity of this issue and that they are required to vote no. What we need to do now as Christians is persuade, educate, convince our fellow congregants in our churches that they too must vote no on Amendment 4.
Andrew, you're exactly right. Let me touch on one thing, and then we'll get back to some other pertinent questions. The scream and cry out of the Democratic Party and Kamala Harris and others is a woman has a right over her own body. Now, from a legal perspective, at conception, that is an individual, that baby in the womb is an individual life. No longer could it be considered, in my opinion, considered, quote, my own body. That's a separate body that God has created. What is your perspective and position on that? I say that because I get tired of hearing, it's my body. Well, they don't believe that when it comes to came down to the COVID vaccinations and the death jabs, where they were going to force you to take a vaccination. We were not allowed to say, it's my body. I'm not going to put that foreign matter in my body. And yet, under the present leadership in Washington and the wannabe leadership through Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, there's a mindset that it's a woman's own body and she can make a decision to murder that other body that's in her body. What is your perspective, take on that?
Florida Voice for the Unborn has been very clear, especially since the fall of Roe versus Wade, that we want all abortions to end in Florida from the moment of conception, precisely because we are all created in the image and likeness of the Lord, our creator. And so this notion that you don't suddenly get any rights until you breathe your first breath is contrary, first off, to what we believe as Christians, because as the scriptures say, the Lord knows us from the very beginning
of our
conception when we are knit in the womb. So, and then we also know from science, from modern day science, that when you have your own heartbeat that's detectable by modern instruments, and we have these great ultrasounds that can see these windows into the womb, we could see that that is not just some organ or something that magically transforms into another human being when you are birthed, but you are a separate entity in your mother's womb. You are just being housed within your mother's womb, because that is God's design for humanity. That is how we come into this world physically, even though, of course, the Lord gives us the soul from the moment of our creation.
Yes, absolutely. Andrew, that brings me to another question. What's been the impact on Florida's abortion rate since the Heartbeat Protection Act went into effect this past May?
Well, the Heartbeat Protection Act prohibits most abortions in Florida after 6 weeks gestation. So according to the latest data that we have, we've seen about a 40% decrease in the monthly abortion reporting numbers since the Heartbeat Protection Act took effect on May 1st. And that's compared to last year, which was, it was at least, I want to say, about a 15-year high in the number of abortions. Over 84,000 unborn children were killed in 2023. So we're seeing a decrease, a significant decrease in the number of abortions being performed here in Florida, but it's not eliminating them altogether. And I believe that because Amendment 4 is just hanging out there, we haven't seen the number of abortion mills close that we were expecting. I think the abortion industry is trying to keep them afloat in anticipation of Amendment 4 passing, which it won't. But otherwise, we would have seen these actual physical abortion mills closed, at least half of them, just like we saw in Georgia, which also has a heartbeat law in effect.
Andrew, what... in your opinion, or maybe it's statistical data that you're familiar with, what does the most recent public polling suggest will voters approve this murder by way of abortion amendment?
Well, the two most recent public polls that I'm aware of, first from Florida Atlantic University, and they polled 1,000 registered Florida voters. They showed that Amendment 4 would only be passing with 56%. And then a second poll that was done by the USA Today Network, Suffolk University, they polled 500 likely Florida voters, and they found that Amendment 4 would only pass with 58% support. Now, I say 56 and 58% only. That's high. But in Florida, you need a constitutional amendment to garner at least 60% of the Florida electorate's approval in November in order to pass. So the fact that these two most recent polls are showing it less than the 60% approval, the 60% threshold needed to pass, that's good news. And it's good news because if you go back to April, when after the Florida Supreme Court unfortunately allowed this amendment on the ballot, the polls were showing the same amount of approval, 58%, 56%. It's all within the margin of error, so it could be very close to the 60%. But that's good, because I think most people's opinions actually don't radically change on this amendment, especially in a short amount of time. And everything we do from now until November 5th is very important in order to make sure that people, our base, go out and vote no on it. But I don't think you're going to see a very radical shift one way or the other. It's going to come down to, I believe, in my personal opinion, from everything that I've seen, it's going to come down to anywhere from between 10,000 to 100,000 votes. That's what's going to make the difference. is right on that borderline. So it's crucial that we get out every last Christian, patriot, conservative in Florida to vote no, because that's who the other side is targeting. The other side knows they can't win in a red state like Florida with just their base. They have to go after Christians, conservatives. They just need enough of us to peel away to vote yes, or even to skip over the ballot question, which you can't do because that's actually an effectively a yes vote. You have to vote no. They know they need those people from our base in order to get over that 16% threshold. So we're right at that cusp level. So I'm praying and hoping and working every single day so that everyone is educated to be voting no. And if we all hold the line as Christians in this state of Florida, we will have more than enough votes to ensure that this amendment goes down, really goes down underneath the 60% threshold. So that is the good news. And there's also one other piece of good news that if I could just fit in real quickly.
Yes, go right ahead.
Dr. Youngblood, breaking news today, right today on Wednesday, August 21st, at 11 a.m., about a half hour before your show started, the Florida Supreme Court issued an opinion approving this financial impact statement to appear on the ballot alongside Amendment 4 in November. And the financial impact statement is actually longer than the amendment itself, but it is very good because it was written with significant pro-life input. And it basically warns voters right there, it's going to be right there on the ballot, that this amendment, if it should pass, will actually lead to taxpayer funding of abortion, and also leading to the overturn of our parental consent law and other laws that are that actually regulate abortion. So it actually tells voters what the amendment is not saying. So it's very, very good. And the Florida Supreme Court just upheld that lengthy Amen. Financial impact statement. So it's great news. It's an answer to prayer.
Absolutely. I am so thankful to hear that. Andrew, it's wonderful for you and for me to get on the bandwagon, stand up, speak up, warning of dangers ahead, as Ezekiel 33 talks about the watchman on the wall. I commend you for that. I'm thankful for your voice and for what you're doing. But speak to the issue a moment of the silence in pulpits, silence from other pulpits. I'm always amazed at the silence of pastors on moral, ethical, doctrinal, theological, biblical issues that come before us year after year after year and each election cycle, and there's silence in the pulpit. So, Andrew, the question is, what should churches, pastors, Christians do, and how should it be done, and is it necessary to speak up and be heard and be seen, or is silence something that is valuable today?
Silence is not acceptable, especially when it comes to Amendment 4. And pastors are empowered to actually say to their congregations, vote no on Amendment 4. This is this is a moral issue, as you said. It's not endorsing any candidates or anything like that. You can actually legally, from the pulpit, say to your congregants, vote no on Amendment 4 and give your reasoning why. And it's all biblically based, as we went through. So silence is not acceptable. What pastors need to do now, until Election Day, is every single opportunity that they get is to hone in on Amendment 4's wickedness and to emphasize to God's people that Amendment 4 will bring disrepute to the state of Florida. It will legalize murder in our state constitution. And as Christians, we have a moral obligation to be voting no on this and persuading others to vote no. The time now is to be bold. You cannot sit on the sidelines. And we're seeing more and more pastors, in terms of good news, Dr. Youngblood, speaking out on this issue. They're feeling more and more emboldened, especially since the farce that you see going on now at the Democratic National Convention on how wicked the other side is. Usually they hid a lot of that. Now they're just open, totally open up about it, as your caller emphasized. There are actually mobile units outside the Democratic National Convention offering free abortions to attendees and anybody else that wants it. That is demonic, wicked, deranged, and pure evil. Pastors need to speak up about the most pressing issue in our land today, and that is the legalized murder of our preborn neighbors in the womb. So I emphasize every pastor and every church leader listening on this call today, get out of your comfort zone, speak up, and tell your congregants, which you can do legally, vote no on Amendment 4 this November.
Absolutely. And one other thing, Andrew, if I can touch on this, and you may use this in the future of sharing with others, I suggest that every pastor use his handheld device and everyone that's in his notebook as far as a name, address, telephone number, send a text saying vote no on Amendment 4. Vote biblically. And that should be the challenge. And for every Christian listening today, ladies and gentlemen, let me challenge you. Go to your handheld device, your telephone, your iPad, and everybody that you have in there as contacts, send them a text or an email message saying vote no on Amendment 4. Hold up biblical values. Stand for truth. Honor God. And vote biblically in this election. And by the way, you could say that in relationship to what we see as far as the immoral, ungodly, unholy wickedness that's taking place to the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. And I don't mind saying, Andrew, I stand in the pulpit and say, this is what the issues are, this is where we are, this is what we should do. And as a Christian, you can't vote for this person because of this issue that is unholy, ungodly, and unbiblical. Andrew, I am delighted that we have this privilege and opportunity. Let me simply say this again. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for the ministry that God's called you to. With the background, the reputation, the ability, and the talents that God's given you to stand and speak boldly for the unborn, that God may intervene. And Andrew, one final footnote to our discussion today. It is my opinion that if the state of Florida votes for this amendment, God will judge our state accordingly, and God will judge it in a very serious fashion as to our turning our backs on God and the Scripture. What is your say on that, very quickly?
Absolutely. You're absolutely 100% correct. God will not bless a state or its people if we vote affirmatively, especially with over 60% of our voting electorate, to enshrine baby murder in our state constitution. He will not. So we are morally obligated to vote no.
Absolutely. Andrew, God bless you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
For centuries, a cord with a lead weight on one end called a plumb line has been used to determine if something is straight and true. For centuries, God's Word has stood as the plumb line for determining if one's life is straight and true. Weekdays